In a world where Togu fans are easy and the wrong figure arts are released for retail, three man children stand not quite shoulder to shoulder with their trusty spray can at their side, united across timelines and space against the congealed, grimdark 90s inspired hordes. Shuku and Shinobi, Dossum Rider, Jedi Mon, Aerosol. Their mission, to bring you the latest Togu news in the craziest way possible. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles Season 4. If you don't listen to this show, you don't know anything about Tokusatsu.
Hello, welcome to RSC 4, episode 23.
The guy mapped one's in it.
I hope that was right.
Me too. Are we doing this? Is this what we're doing? We're just doing puns every week now for the next year?
Yeah.
Yes?
See, I suggested the guy mapped Bull Express.
See, well, damn it, we can use that one later. Me. Now we just outed it.
I know. God, Aerosol, you are bad at this.
No.
No. No, you're bad at this. No. Damn. You out-debated me.
I checked. I was right with 23, so we're good.
Yay.
You have a tiny penis, Brian.
One-ups?
You know it. Pokemon. That's it.
Pokemon.
Like, I'm serious. That's it. I haven't really... I've bought some Skylanders.
But... He said shenanigans.
Brandon.
Yes. Thank you for being able to read. You're one step up on Dossum. Dossum can't read.
No, I'm like five steps on...
Oh. Monkey's five steps above Dossum.
Well, that's true. Monkeys can do puzzles. Dossum can't.
Puzzles are the worst.
Monkeys can also do sign language while masturbating. Dossum can't do either one.
Well, why would I want to do sign language? We're getting away from the issue. Brian's one-ups.
I don't have any.
Brian's one-ups was Pokemon.
I bought Pokemon and I bought Skylanders. That's all I've done for a week.
Okay. Well, let's get to mine then, which are thoroughly more interesting because that's exactly what I did. I bought Pokemon and I bought Skylanders. I didn't buy the game yet because I'm waiting for a sale, and even if I bought it, I wouldn't be playing it at all.
I haven't played mine yet either.
So that's pretty much it. I've spent whatever free time I had playing Pokemon.
You're Pokey, stop it!
No, Pokemon.
Is it my turn?
Mm-hmm.
Be an asshole? Yes.
Oh, I got Pokemon, and...
No, you gotta say how Kaylee says it, Pokemon.
Oh, but I got Pokemon.
She's,
and
she's doing it wrong. Azeron.
And then I went to Toys R Us because it was like, buy one, get one 40% off Pokemon toys. So I got four of the two packs, the Espeon Pokeball, and... I got four of those trainer packs. Could you not do that loudly?
This is unprofessional.
Oh, yeah, because Brian doesn't eat in the middle of the podcast.
He's the Shukun Shinobi. Have you seen the meme?
Yes, I've seen the meme. It's a little black African kid.
It's Brian. Brian sounds like a hyena dying.
I got the four grass starter three packs because buy one get one 40% off, so I got them pretty cheap by the time I was done.
You got all four of them?
I got Bulbasaur, Turtwig, Chikorita, and Treecko. I got all starters. Four. Well, those are the only ones they had were the grass ones.
That's because those are the only ones that are out.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
I assume they're going to move into fire and then water. That makes sense. Unless the line dies, in which case, yeah.
In which case, yeah.
I mean, like, they had individual Final Evolved Fire Starters, but I was like, if I'm going to buy these packs, there's no point in buying Emboar and... I have an Emboar, but buying Blaziken and Charizard. And,
yeah, it's... plus, they're so expensive for a slightly shiny Pokeball and one figure.
Yeah, yeah. And, what else did I get? Did anything? Oh, I got a disc album for my Disney Infinity because I wanted the Toys R Us one had the extra slots.
Yeah, because I can hold the exclusives in it too.
Yeah, and I got Eugene just sent me two new Turtles figures, Spider Bites and the Shredder. Since he was like, I found them, I bought them. you want them? I'm like, okay, you may as well just send them to me. That's kind of how it went. I was like, you want them? I'm like, sure. He's like, okay, cause I bought them. I'm like, oh, all right, cool.
Are you still holding all those toys for Sound Out?
Wait, the thing about that is...
Colin, you don't care.
What? Okay, well, you're always cold. Yeah, actually, I do have that box of toys for Sound Out. And, he finally found out about it. I don't know if you follow him on Twitter still.
I do. Well, obviously.
Like, oh, most of the messages end up private messages. He's like, you still have that? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I forgot all about that. I'm like, son of a bitch.
You're like, the worst.
He's like, well, which ones is it? So I told him. He's like, oh, well, I only need one of those now. So I got, like, a whole bunch of figures just sitting there. I'm like, fuck. Like... I was like, you son of a bitch, so...
You trip on your stuff all day tomorrow. Every time you get up, I hope you trip.
That's probably going to be... I'm going to add that to my thing where I sell stuff, because... I need
to know why you're selling
I need stuff. To sell them. And, But, yeah, I'm going to be selling figure arts like Brian, so... And Brian... In fact, I'm going to be selling them from the exact same place as Brian, because Brian's that kind of a pal. I have to see what else I'm selling. Nippa! I don't know yet.
I meant yours. Stop it. Mine isn't exposed.
I'm trying to think if I have any other one-ups. I don't think so. Oh, I'm about to put up a vlog with the small child. She's not well, so that's why she's kind of in a mood.
She's sick.
Yeah, she's not well. She's having, I think, sinus problems or something because of the weather change.
Welcome to my life.
But
it's awful.
Yeah, well, we know your life is awful.
Sinuses are awful.
Yeah. Brian just wishes he doesn't have a nose. He just wants two slits like what's his face? The evil guy from Harry Potter that's bald.
Voldemort,
there we go.
The evil guy from Harry Potter who's bald. Oh, I'm awesome, I'm fucking stupid.
Well, I couldn't remember it. There's too many villains in my head.
Isn't it your turn?
I was waiting for you to finish.
I said I was finished.
Okay. I did actually buy something other than Pokemon. I finally picked up Ni No Kuni, which is the game I've been wanting for a really long time. It was like $20 at Target.
Oh shit, they got it down to 20 now?
Yeah. Like, because I went to pick up the strategy guide too, and the strategy guide is way more than the actual game now.
So the strategy guides like don't go down in price and the games do. It's really stupid.
Yeah. So I played a little bit of that before I got Pokemon, and it's pretty fun. I mean, it looks amazing. And you essentially fight with these little familiar things that eventually grow and evolve, so you're kind of fighting with Pokemon.
Pokemon, Miyazaki version.
Go,
Totoro, I choose you.
Aside from that, I was flipping through the paper the other day, and I saw just on the corner of the front page, just this little thing that read "local man killed by train," and I look at it.
We know that train.
And I look at where it was at, and it really was this train.
And it was you?
It was like a block or so away from where I live.
God.
Was it
and
you?
Just the other night. No, it's not me. Just the other night, I was listening, and the train was going like berserk. It kept blaring its horn and everything.
It's I'm a like, possessed geez, train.
Jeez, they're going like the train's a jerk today. And then I find out later that it was some guy laid down in front of the tracks and essentially killed himself.
Depressing.
That's awesome.
Turns out it was actually someone I knew from high school.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah.
And, like, the crazy train noises, that wasn't when we were on a call or anything?
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, just think, audience, you could have heard someone's murder live. One of those, brrrr, it's death. On a positive side, I just caught a Goomy, so. Sorry. I was pretty excited about that, so. I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, I just thought that, like, that really, like, I was really taken aback by that. Because we hear the train so much because it's so loud. And then I just see that local guy killed by train. I'm like, holy crap, the train is a killer.
Now every time that horn blares, I will just think of murder. Murder at the train. The game, the movie.
I feel bad for Goomy. His first line in his Pokedex entry is, he's the weakest dragon Pokemon.
Poor Goomy.
I want to use him, but my team's already way too full.
What's wrong with you?
My team's full, I just said it.
Otherwise, speaking of teams being full, this experience with X and Y is really frustrating me.
What's the matter, Brian?
Because it's the most magnificent thing ever, except for the fact that the strategy guide is a piece of shit. And
it's out?
Since it's a 3D... Yes.
Yeah.
Since it's a 3DS game, they can't do a ROM dump, and no one's compiled, like, any sort of data yet, so you can't plan for shit. I have no clue who learns Waterfall. None of the Pokemon that I'm using can learn Waterfall, so I have to, like, just find a random-ass water Pokemon if I want to use Waterfall, and, like, I can't plan shit, I don't know anything, and it's bothering me, and I hate it. But the game is fucking awesome.
It is.
I haven't started it yet.
How many badges on black 2?
3! And on white 2! No, I was doing white 2. I evened them out. Remember, I do this at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
White 2 was tonight. I totally curb stomped Berg. It was awesome.
I have found it a little frustrating to build a concise team around the new Pokemon. Mostly because there is not very many of them.
They're like the rarest ones, like in an area. Whatever new Pokemon always seem like the rarest.
I was doing really good until there's a waterfall into it.
If anybody out there follows me on Twitter, you'd know that it took me like 3 hours to find a Litleo.
I remember that. That was funny.
But yeah, I mean, like, for me. Just their type matchups kind of.
There's X's everywhere in Dawson Lod game.
Lod? Well, you said Dawson Lod game. Sorry, I turned it down. It got really loud in the clothing
fuck
store.
Douchebag.
My lord.
Your mama likes the dick
game. Anyway, what?
Wait, while I'm on this, I was talking about clothes. Why does that store in the Paris city kick you out because you're not fancy enough? Is this pretty woman?
Ugly.
Well, yeah, that's just true, but
No, you need to do certain things in the city first.
Oh, it's like,
pretty
why they...
woman.
It's like, why this?
Walking down the street, pretty woman.
I want to go back and be all fancy like Dwight. Good day, sir. I'll take the dragon statue.
All right, toy scans.
Yay, toys.
Let's go to herpes.com.
Do it.
All right. Herpes.
See?
Herpes.com.
Can't be any worse than Canadian sex acts.
It's just like a little like thing about what if you have herpes, how much you know about herpes. Says here.
Kaido Jin knows about herpes.
Yeah. Oh, actually, there's like a picture of Dawson here. That's weird.
Are you sure it's not just you?
No, there's a banner for HLJ. That's fun.
On herpes.com?
I can't make this up.
That's hilarious.
Gundam kits pre-order now. I don't wanna. I guess if you like Gundam, you have herpes or something. I don't know. And shop at HLJ. Brian, who's doing this news story about toy scans? Me?
I figured.
Okay, well, let me open it. So we got more of the listings from that toy catalog because they couldn't give us the whole thing at once because they're fucks. So what we found out is that in December, to coincide with the movie, we will have the DX Blood Orange Lock Seed Movie War set. So it's got the blood orange Loxteed, which is also LS07, just like the regular orange. And it has the little plate for War God Gaim, Bushin Gaim, which as opposed to... Your mom's a fucking whore. It says when you put it in, it plays rock music and says the phrase, Blood Orange Arms, Janomichi on stage. Janomichi translates to Path of Evil and is obviously a play on Gaim's Hanamichi.
No way.
Your mom's a fucking whore. Then there's a picture of the Sengoku driver with like the melon energy Loxseed attached to it for whatever reason. So the Snorlax can combine, and there's a pic, like a shadowed image of Gaim. So I guess somehow it's he can do a power up with it. I don't know.
Slides into the faceplate area.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. So I'm not sure what's going on there. Meanwhile, we got some more arms change figures. So first up, we have arms change 8 and 9. 8 is Kamen Rider Zangetsu Shin Melon Energy Arms. So it is Zangetsu that we saw before. It's not like some random other person. It comes with the figure, the Melon Energy. I think I should say arms, not army, and the Sonic Arrow. That's in January. Then AC09 is that Gaim form. It's simply listed as Gaim New Arms, and that's in February. And then 07 is going to be Greiton and the Dandeliner set, so him and his bike.
Dandeliner is an awesome name.
Which looks like it says LV03, but I'm not sure. It looks like a Star Wars speeder bike, which makes me happy. Plus it's Greiton and with his acorn armor and his hammer. Like he's fucking Thor or something. And then that comes out January. And it says that Gaim will use the Dandeliner in the movie. That's a thing. Then we see a new rider for AC-10. This comes out in February. And it's going to be Kamen Rider Kurokage, who uses the Pinecone arms. So that, in fact, isn't another one used by Greiton like we first thought from the scans in the first quarter. It's actually a totally different rider. And he comes with his pinecone pole arm. Also, it's called. It's like a big stick. Fucking whore. And his lock, which I think is 04, it's the tulip hopper.
I love this show. Oh, God.
Ryan's Batman again.
It looks like one of those things the clones used in Clone Wars.
Actually, you sounded like one of those people on those commercials that tell you not to smoke because now they have to use like a vibrator to speak.
Yeah, yeah, Brian, you don't want using a vibrator to speak. So that's pretty cool. So I'm kind of excited about this. I'd like to see who those other three energy riders are, but
I'll just stop now.
Something that listed their supposed names, but they looked all really, really fucked up. I didn't like them.
Yeah. But I'm intrigued by, like, this different Zangetsu design.
It's really weird, because it's only got, like, the shoulder plate on one side.
Yeah.
And while that, I'm fine with that. I mean, multiple riders have that sort of gimmick. It's just the shoulder pad's so big that it looks really strange, but...
Might just be the toy.
Yeah. Plus, it's just, like, a 3D render. It's not the actual toy yet, so... Who knows?
Yeah, there's no telling.
The Gaim silhouette looks almost the same as normal Gaim, but...
Yeah, well, that might just be... I don't know if that's going to be for effect or just... Like, if that's just to disguise what he is, or if it's actually going to look like that.
But the Genesis driver piece going onto the faceplate area is kind of interesting. It looks really weird, to say the least, but it's an interesting concept, I think.
Yeah. Make like a fucking blender of fruit. Make a little smoothie for power, extra power.
That's what I guessed his final form is going to be activated with. Just a blender.
Smoothie King.
Smoothie Cane?
Smoothie King.
Okay.
Fucking idiot.
What if he's
I like
the
groovy... idea of a smoothie cane, though, honestly. Like
the groovy smoothie.
Just
it's going to be Tebow.
On the top.
Tebow for American Gaim.
I like the blood orange Loxie. I think it looks kind of cool.
It does.
That's pretty neat. I like it. It's so cool.
And I like the day before that these scans came out, I was pressing the inside buttons on the Sengoku driver, and I heard the rock song. I was like, well, is that Zangetsu's? I don't know who that is. And then this happened. Like, oh, it's no one's. It's Evil Gaim's. Okay.
And I like these lock vehicles. Like, it's really they're adorable. Making me excited.
Graydon's adorable. I just want to hug him.
I know. Graydon is awesome. He's probably going to, like, be a shit rider. But I mean, his lock seat is like a closer to class C plus or something like that.
The writer guy said that most adult fans would probably like Graydon.
Oh, really?
I don't know why, but...
He's a porn star.
Probably. Well, that... What?
I don't know.
I don't... No, I hate Brian's how I mother. Instantaneously just said okay to that.
Then you questioned it later, so... Not too far gone yet.
But, yeah, it all looks really cool. The... What's his face? Kurokage. I'd have to see, like, an actual suit. The sketch is pretty small and... weird, but his little hopper thing is really stupid. I agree.
But, yeah, I don't know. I'm excited for Gaim things. Like, I'm gonna get me a belt. It's gonna have a damaged box, but I'm cool with that. It's cheaper than normal, so it's all good.
What'd you get?
I got a Sengoku driver, but it was like, I don't know if I put one up, it was like, the box is damaged, so it's an extra 700 yen off.
Oh, that's not Do you bad. Want? That's cool.
So I was like, I'll take it. I don't fucking care about the box. I'm going to throw it away anyway. Like, so I was like, yeah, I'll take it. Fuck you. And I bought it, and I just need the rest of the toys now. I'm going to have lock seeds at the Awesome World, and I feel good about that.
I'll get them eventually.
But then again, I have lots of toys Dawson doesn't. Like dinosaurs.
What dinosaurs? Oh, just the Tobospino. I could care less about that.
You got Plezuo?
Yeah. I reviewed
him.
When
did you do that?
A while ago. I got it from Mandarake. I think I told you about it, too.
I wasn't paying attention. You know I don't listen when you talk. You're not that important.
Reminds me, I still need to have them ship Mini-Tier. I keep forgetting.
Where'd you get that?
HLJ. It's in my private warehouse. That and the box are just sitting there in my private warehouse, and I keep forgetting to ship them.
Oh, yeah, you did get Mini-Tier. I told you about getting Mini-Tier.
Yeah, because you said, are you going to get it? And then I said, yeah, I got it. And now you're like, what? And that was the story.
And now I'm like, what? Yeah. I need to get it, though. I didn't get it yet. I'm so sad. I need Mini-Tier to love me.
I only need the love of Diggersby.
Sorry. Diggersby's kind of frightening.
Diggersby's amazing. You don't give a fuck.
Dawson's best friend.
I believe that. Dawson likes the dick. Dawson likes him some Diggersby dick.
Diggers dick?
Diggersby. We both tried to do different versions of Diggersby dick.
Anyway, that's it for news.
Spank that ass, Brian.
Shut up.
So, I guess now it's time for Super Hero Taimu.
I like how we're still on O's.
Is that what it was from? Was it O's?
Yeah.
I don't remember what...
Because it was the same melody as Tadoba.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember. I just remember that I like doing it that way, so that's what I keep doing. That and I don't have a thing for anything recent. Because the Go Busters superhero time just wasn't as much fun for me. Kyoryuger! Gaim, I don't have a way to say that yet. I've got to figure out.
Gaim.
Don't. Gaim's here. That's a thing. We're doing now. We'll figure out some way to say his name cool. We're on an episode of Kyoryuger, whose number I'm about to determine. 33. I'm never sure of what number we're on. Alright, so in the beginning, Uchi's all like, look, I'm training, I'm having fun with my sword. And I'm like, alright, that's cool.
And these two chicks... Sword. Sorry.
We know. That's why your toys are sticky. And you, these two girls come up and are like, oh my god, Uchi, you're that friend of Ian's. Like, we want his dick, and can you give him the sunglasses back? And he's like, you're like the coolest. And he's like, these are people with vaginas. I don't know how to talk to them. I think he like passed out or something. I don't know. And then, meanwhile, back at base, Ian gets a text from an old girlfriend saying, I'm back in Japan. I'm coming to find you. And he's like, oh, shit. Like, because, you know, he can't just get him, leave the ladies alone. He's got to always be up in that. So they're all like, oh, my goodness. Like, this girlfriend is coming. And Uchi, like, shows up, like, I don't know, in his pajamas or on a bathrobe or something. I don't know what the hell was going on. But he, like, attacks Ian with the sword and electrocutes him. And it's like, you're a douchebag. And he's like, oh, what the fuck? So they go meet the chick at the airport. And, like, Uchi is, like, giving him a stank eye. He's like, I'm watching your ass, motherfucker. Meanwhile, Soji and Nobu are like, oh, my God, this chick's so hot. And he's like, whatever. And then, like, they get attacked by a fall monster. Not, like fall over, like the season fall. And so that was a thing for a while. And iGallant and what's his name, Lucky, show up and they're like, hey, we're gonna fight, but we're gonna like take some pictures of him fighting so he can impress Candelilla, because yeah. And they're like, okay, whatever. So the monster ends up running off, and Uchi and the chick are there, and they get sucked into his little dimension, and Ian's like, no, ho bitch. And and so then the monster's like, ah, oh, bye, motherfucker. And then iGallon's fighting the other Kyuujers, and then he, like, goes crazy for a minute. But he's like, no, I must stay sane for Candelilla, otherwise she won't love me. And then he comes back to normal, and they're like, all right, let's get the fuck out of here. So they're like, okay, bye. And they're like, we gotta find Uchi. Oh, shit. And Ian's like, well, I gave the girl a beast battery, so Parasagan, do your thing. Go find that hoe. And he's like, para, para. I don't know why he didn't really talk that way. He was just like, and meanwhile, Yayo is like, you guys probably shouldn't be douchebags to each other anymore, because this maximum battery is not going to work. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so they're doing stuff, and they're like, and then back in the little dimension thing, Uchi and the chick wake up and are like, holy fuck, where are we? It's kind of weird. And she's like, he's like, dude, you probably shouldn't hang around that Ian guy. He's like all up in them strange lady vaginas. And he probably has, like, a disease. Probably has herpes. You don't want to get that. It's pretty bad. And Chuck's like, no, it's okay. He's always making us girls happy because we're sad and hate ourselves. But then he comes along and throws flowers at my feet, and I love him all of a sudden. And it's the same flower because that's our thing. And Uchi's like, oh, I get it. I get it. You just throw some flowers at a girl and she'll be in love with you. And she's like, that's not what I'm going for, but whatever. And then all of a sudden Parasagun shows up. Like, they get attacked by the monster, but then Parasagun shows up and it's like, fuck you, monster. And then Ian slow walks in through the fog like a badass, while flowers just rain down on the chick from above, because Nobu and Soji and Amy are just, they got like a truckload of them apparently, and they're just tossing them around like nothing. And the chick's like, here, Ian, here's this one of those ancient guardian stone things. I found it in Germany. And he's like, oh, sweet, cool, motherfucker. Let's transform, Uchi. And they transform. King and Yayoi run in. They do some fighting. They turn into carnival. Well, Daigo does. And then they use the victory and the maximum Jujenshi together to blow the fuck out the monster and get back to the real world, but not road rules. And then they Lucky comes in and pours his little sperm water on the monster, who gets big. They make Teraideno Parasagan. There's some kind of weird marshmallow rabbit sperm thing that was kind of weird that the monster did. They blow him up, and then they're like, all right, cool, this must be Kantro Spiker's stone. We got one left. And then those two chicks from the beginning of the episode come in and are like, Uchi, we love you. You're so cool. We want your dick now. And he's like, I don't know what to do. And then the chick, the other one that gave him the stone's like, yeah, me too. I want some of that Uchi ancient penis too. And he's like, oh god, what do I do? Three chicks want me. Help me, Ian. Get him away from me. And it's like, I think he's into dudes. I don't know what the problem is. And Ian's like, no, go get you some, and pushes him away. And they all laugh and laugh, and then it ends.
I like the concept of ancient penis.
Well,
it's like an old crusty thing or something.
Oh, God. So this was a fun episode. I don't know, like, the conflict between Ian and Uchi seemed a little bit out of place.
Yeah, it did.
Like I feel like this should have been an episode, like, or that segment should have been in an episode about 20 episodes ago or so. Back when Uchi first came in. But they didn't do it, and now they are doing it. But it was whatever. We got another stone. I thought it was funny watching what's his name? Uchi try to talk to girls and utterly failing miserably. I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, it was fun. We're getting Brigigas next episode, so I'm looking forward to that. Yayoi was in this episode fighting.
She's pretty much main cast now. Like, you can't even argue anymore.
Yeah,
she's not as main as the actual main six, but, like, she's honestly in it just as much as, like, Torin. So.
Yeah, she's in all these episodes. I mean, she doesn't fight as much as the other guys do, obviously, but she has been fighting quite a bit, and, like, she thinks she's fought in, like, every other episode or something like that, or maybe she fought last one, too. But, and I think, aren't the other ones coming back next week, too?
I know Tessai is, so I assume...
Ramirez is as well.
Ramirez, yep, there we go.
Yeah.
Can't have one without the other.
But, so that's a thing. They come back, and they're going to be doing their shit. I'm hoping that, first of all, they all use the maximum together, just to see how badass it is, and just also to see them all together. I can't wait till we get Silver, though, and then we can have a full 10-person team. Because I think they're going for 10, guys. I don't know about you. What do you guys think? Are they going to go for 10? I don't know.
No.
No, they're just going to go for, like, 4.
They're going to do 4?
They're going to stop at 4. So that's my prediction.
Makes sense.
They're actually just going to steal the powers away from some of them and just make it down to 4 and, like, murder them. Like, oh, okay. That's going to happen. Ramirez is going to steal everyone's powers and cut their throats in their sleep. Be like, I'm Ramirez, bitches. I'm like, whoa. Brave in.
Come on. Well, like you said, it was fun. I don't necessarily think it was a good episode, but it was... I went into it thinking I was really not going to like it, because the whole feud felt really forced, given how they had such typical camaraderie before.
It felt very forced.
But,
like, very.
So I was like, well, this feels really weird. I don't know. Whatever. But then, by the end, there was enough little, like, in-jokes and funny things to make me like it, plus Maximum's attack effect was really cool.
It was. I enjoyed that part.
So by the end of the episode, I enjoyed watching it. I'm not going to necessarily say that I thought it was a great episode, but I ended up not hating it, so it's always a plus.
Yeah, well, and then I don't know what I was going to say now. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the episode was fine.
That's a good word. It really is.
We really are just sort of killing time until Bragigas and Gyoryu Silver show up.
I thought you were going to say until Dawson gets out of the bathroom.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Maybe not.
Right, fucker. I'm still in the bathroom.
Dawson had to go play with the sword. But, I liked the little camera, the picture taking segment. I just thought that was funny. We have to impress her by showing how awesome you are in battle. So that was a thing. So, Gaim?
I guess it's Gaim. Okay. Is that
God!
Anything else? Just, I'm sure. Okay. I'll take the silence as a yes. Good job, guys.
I'll take a bomb as a yes.
Okay, so at the beginning of the episode, we see this little team investigating the zipper dimension with Zangetsu. So that's a thing. And then we get to see Kota pretty much doing what we do in real life when we get a new belt, but his actually works. So he's just transforming in his room over and over again, and transforming at work, and just generally trying to figure out how to use this belt, and it's pretty hilarious. And then he has a brief encounter with a kid in Kaito who is better at luring children than him, so we learn that about him. That's neat. Team Baron gets challenged by some street toughs, and they beat them because they have better cutting-edge hair. Kota and Mai go back to the place where their friend disappeared and discover it's all, like, Baron and stuff now because of the SWAT team, whatever.
Baron, like an old
one. I didn't even mean to do that. It's hilarious. So, and then Team Baron challenges Team Gaim to a duel with their locks, and Kota agrees to be the duelist for them, and if Baron wins, then they have to give up their dance card, essentially, and they can't dance anymore, but if they win, they get their stage back. Apparently, it's not public property. So they go to duel, and Gaim kicks their asses with his special strawberry lock seed that's a giant monster. But then the slingshot dickhead from last week knocks the lock out of his hands.
Dickhead.
And it causes the monster to go everywhere. So Kota transforms into Gaim and he starts to fight him. And he drops the strawberry lock seed and the monster eats it and is trying to teach kids that if you eat fruit, you can become a stronger monster. And so he's like, oh, fuck. And then he's like, damn it. What's his name? Kota, what about the pineapple? So he uses the pineapple and he defeats him with his pineapple powers. And then the DJ guy is sort of talking about Gaim and how he's Armored Rider Gaim, and Zangetsu's like, oh, very interesting, and he's in his limo and stuff, and then it ends. I really liked this episode. I thought it was a lot of fun. My favorite part was definitely the beginning with Kota trying out the belt, because it was so realistic. Like, that's what we do when we have our toys, but we can't transform. There was absolutely no attempt to hide his secret identity. He tried to use it on the job. I just thought it was hilarious.
It was fantastic. The whole cart fell over.
And it was just great. It was just a really entertaining episode. And I felt it was more... I'm trying to figure out a way to articulate it, but complete for me, where I felt like I had a better idea of Gaim by the end of this one. This last week just kind of felt incomplete, like a part one, but I don't necessarily think these fit together, but I just felt more satisfied after finishing watching this episode. But yeah, it was really a good episode. I liked it.
Yeah. Like, no, the beginning was seriously like the best thing. Like, I can't get over how accurate that is to, like, a real person.
I said it yesterday, but I think it's the first time I've ever seen a writer transform lying on a bed. I can't remember any other time that happened where he just transformed and he's like, well, what do we do now?
I liked watching him try, like, do different poses and ways of, like, presenting the lock seat out to, like...
It reminded me of Spider-Man when he was trying to figure out how to get the web to come out. That's what she said.
Don't eat my cookie.
Okay.
Oh, I'll eat your cookie, all right.
I didn't mean like that.
He's eating it right now.
You might have butter.
Somebody say something
all of you.
Aerosol.
That's why we have aerosol here, to say something intelligent.
At least somebody's smart.
Did aerosol? Is aerosol here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, I love the part with him trying to transform. Like you guys said, it's exactly what any one of us would have done had we suddenly found out that we were a superhero. It's just finding any opportunity we can to transform. Oh, you're stuck in a tree? Don't worry, I can transform. Oh, you need these paint cans? Better transform. Oh, food delivery. Got to transform for this. And I love the goofy grin he gets on his face every time he does it.
It's so instantaneous.
He's so happy. He's so happy to be doing this.
Like, he's got like a completely normal face. And then as soon as he hits the button, he's just like, huh?
And, like last week, after he untransformed, he's still sort of shaking out of kind of like a shock thing. And even at the start, when he walked in and started talking to his sister, he's like, I transformed. And she's like, okay. And then he goes into the closet and transforms.
And he's like, see?
I just love how, like, he goes from being, like, in a state of shock to once he realizes what he can do with it, he's, like, super into it.
He's like, I can transform. She goes, all right, well, we're having meat and potatoes for dinner, so.
I love that she was getting annoyed by the belt. I remember, when I used to live near people or with people, whenever I would use, like, a belt or any sort of Japanese toy that's really fucking loud, they get really annoyed.
It's like half of them.
So I'm just like, you know what? If I lived with someone and was constantly playing with the Sengoku driver, yeah, I can see people getting annoyed.
Except yours won't actually transform you. It seems like the transformation, such an ordeal, because the zipper comes down and the giant ass orange. Because there's some
the
of them that
comes
are
down.
There's. Because there's ones that are so subtle, but that one is just so cumbersome. I just think it's funny that he kept doing it.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I'm really enjoying the show so far. It's entertaining and it pleases me. I liked the dude's the lock seats, the dealer's little iPad where you can scroll through and see them all. I'm like, I want that.
Kevin likes the lists. His favorite part.
I can't help it.
I remember when Ankh had the one for medals, and you were flipping his shit.
That's becoming a question for.
I like lists and organization. What can I say? Part of it's being an accountant, part of it's just general OCD.
It's still so funny how this dude dealing in like superpowers and the ability to summon Pokemon like creatures, it like that's just so normal to everyone. Like they just have these battles and like yeah, when a monster breaks out people go crazy because it can actually hurt them, but actually seeing it, it's just normal now. It's kind of funny. I was surprised to see the monster eat the strawberry lock.
That was weird.
And then like he didn't get it back either.
Yeah.
Which I was surprised by too.
Kevin was wondering last week why he didn't do strawberry first. That's why it got eaten. It's food.
Why would he not use it like when he was dicking around with it? Like you got an alternate option. Try it.
Right? Because that's what we do. Man, I take all I said back. It's not realistic at all. Because I try out all the different variations.
So just to speak in terms of, like, Baron, the guy, not the team. The team is full of dickheads. But the guy...
Like,
there were a bunch of dickheads.
Bandits of this show.
Yeah. The guy, though, I actually like him quite a bit.
Yeah. Baron's pretty cool.
He seems to be a little bit more honorable than the others. Like, he actually gave them a legitimate chance to get their stage back and to win, like, a lock seed that was pretty rare, apparently.
And he was pissed at that dude with a slingshot, a.k.a.
Yeah,
slingshot
like
dickhead.
He was actually mad that he cheated, because his whole philosophy, it seems, is, you know, winning with his own power. And, like, the strongest surviving, you know, that kind of stuff. But he doesn't seem like he's a dick about it. Like, he, even though he was sort of harsh with that kid, he made a legitimate point, and he actually helped the kid.
Yeah. I don't mean to interrupt, but did anybody else hear that whistling?
Yes.
Okay, it's getting... Okay, where's it coming from?
I don't hear it.
Okay. Because it was getting louder, and I was just... Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I had to know. I got to know.
I heard the whistling Dawson. It was coming from my pants.
Yeah. Okay.
Just a little midget in there.
It was a great like second episode, and I want more now.
Apparently, there's supposed to be some sort of big twist in the next episode or so.
The next episode already?
I don't know. That's one of the things I read. Not necessarily the next episode, but like in the next few, I guess.
Well, see, I know that's a lot. Dawson said he read something.
The symbols lined up. Okay.
Just felt I should point that out. Dawson was like, I read something. Well, you're a little fucking liar. But yeah, that was cool. I want to see more. I want to see Baron. Zangetsu looks like he's insane.
I like all of the articles that or interviews I read with like the showrunner and stuff. Just because it sounds like
it makes
really gonna make a good show or try.
It makes me happy.
It's funny though, because I think the last one I read, it said him talking to the kid in the first episode was a Kuga reference. And I get what they mean, that like they're trying to evoke, I guess, his personality, but I think it's funny that the idea of a guy talking to a kid is a reference.
Well, that is how Kuga started.
I just think it's funny, because like, I'm just picturing like being outside and seeing like a dad talking to a son and be like, it's a Kuga reference. Everything is tokusatsu. Even people talking.
Yeah,
it's a reference. Everything's like, a reference. Meant,
but it just seemed funny because it seemed so in line with like what the Toku community does.
Well, you saw when he was holding out the Loxie and then lifted it up. That's an MMPR reference.
Clearly.
I mean, duh. How did you not see that? That's obviously an MMPR reference. Everything's an MMPR reference.
I heard you say MMPR reference, and now I'm just picturing Eminem doing something with PR.
Because Saban.
Like the rapper?
Yeah. Okay. Or the candy. Everybody's like, oh, okay, I like the candy.
No, like Jonah Hill as Eminem.
Not so Slim Shady.
I just finally saw that movie. So.
Wasn't it funny?
Yeah, and
it was really funny.
It was filmed like...
I know.
It was actually the school they use is down the street from the Bromart I work at.
You punched me because I'm gay? No, I punched you when you turned out to be gay afterwards.
Well, those kids were obnoxious. Like, that's not cool. We gotta care about the environment. Like, oh, fuck.
You got a worm strap. Dude, everybody's too strapped.
I can't take it. It was just really funny.
Dawson likes to one strap it.
Totally. I'd no strap it if that was an option.
Yeah, Dawson only one strap to strap on. He doesn't two strap it.
Safety first.
That's why I said I don't need to know that.
Oh god, there goes the murder.
Aerosol, don't do it. We need you here.
Is it time to go Mega?
Yes.
Oh lord.
Go Mega.
It's time to get some product codes from Walmart system.
I forgot this was a thing.
Unfortunately.
I wished it wasn't a thing. Robot Troy is not happy.
Well, he's going to be shirtless by the finale, so look forward to that.
Robot Troy is not amused.
It's funny, I watched some of the clips in French, and I'm like, is this what it's like watching Power Rangers and Kalos? And then they ask for a tip afterwards. It's really awkward.
I've seen Aerosol's tweet about the fro that wanted
to. Come on, Pookie. Let's burn this motherfucker down. Come on, Pookie. Oh god.
Sounds like Aerosol had like a black tube. Come on, Pookie.
Okay, so now it's time for Mega Force summaries with me. You fucked it up again.
It's just Mega Force.
Dawson always fucks things up. Yeah.
Go.
Okay, so this is episode 14, Gosei Ultimate. I wonder what they get in this episode.
Gosei Jet.
Herpes.
Boat.
If only.
Not so Sierra Hanna, though, because then she'll give it to Jason Smith, and that's not good.
Yeah. The mutants put slime in the Aurora box. They're going to pollute the city. Megaforce.
Look, that was the cocksucker reviewed a Lockseed holder.
What?
Some cocksucker with a bow and arrow reviewed a Lockseed holder.
He's a dick. Tenso is doing something and failing. He's awful. Biggs, who is the slime guy, I learned his name finally, and then he died, so it was an unfortunate thing. Starts sliming.
Your mom's
everywhere.
An unfortunate thing.
Blue Fur, that's the other guy, spins him around to make slime go everywhere. Robo Knight is pissed. The Rangers arrive and
he's pissed.
They try to use the Megaforce Blaster, but it doesn't work. They get owned. So does Tokyo Tower. But now it got reduced to a radio station tower. Rank up. Robo Knight arrives and freezes the ooze, and the mutants escape. It rains for approximately 5 seconds in some freak act of nature and thaws out the slime. The Rangers combine their cards to freeze the slime again. They go Ultra to fight the mutants. They split up. G and Jake use some quake thing that allows the other three to beat the shit out of the other ones. Big goes into the box, and Bluefur teleports away. At night, he puts the box on top of a building. It gets really big for unknown reasons. Got excited. Biggs takes over the building and becomes a giant mutant blob building. Robo Knight takes on Bluefur while the others go into the big building, literally. Lots of fighting happens. The Rangers get captured, but then they're like, oh, no, we're not captured. Because we're ultra mega.
No, we're not captured. You guys are captured. Nope.
So they describe Biggs inside the Aurora box, and Rex like, oh, man, Zombats! And Bluefur gets really big, and
lasers.
Robo Knight turns into Gosei Grand to fight. Meanwhile, Tensu...
I thought you were going to say Tenzin for a second.
Tenzin is
the little robot.
Only first Pokemon Master. He finished his project, which was turning the entire building portion of the command center, which is apparently just decoration, into a spaceship. Because that was a thing. It arrives, and the Rangers use the Ultra Zords to change it into the Gosei Ultimate Command Ship. Or Command Shit. Either or. The Aurora Box is destroyed, and then they begin attacking Bluefur. The Command Ship transforms into Gosei Ultimate Megazord. Bluefur is destroyed, and nothing else happens after that. There was
Boom.
Like a brief scene, and Jake said something funny, because that's all he does. See, I like Jake.
He probably took his pants
off. Jake and G are the only characters I tolerate on the show. Gia because Ernie, she's hot, and Jake because she's funny.
Ernie's my favorite character.
Ernie for the win. And Robo Knight, but he's a robot, he's not a character.
How dare you, Brian? That's
what?
Racist.
You fucker.
Robots can be characters, too.
You roboticist.
What a bigot.
And this coming from Dawson, and he hates everything that's not white.
Except robots.
Exactly. He hates the Jews. He hates the blacks, the gays.
I look for Bagley Insurance.
We all know about you, Dawson. It's okay.
Anyway.
So if you're a gay black Jew, you're really fucked. Dawson's really coming after you.
I thought the episode was actually pretty good. I thought it was had a really weird pacing issue. Like, it seemed like things would have a real fast turnaround. They were like, alright, we gotta wait for nightfall, and then they, like, turned around. Oh, shit, it's night! And so, I don't remember, I don't think Gosei Ultimate was multiple episodes in Gosager. I don't remember
anymore.
It just seemed really choppy. Like, normally events that would at least have a little breathing room, not necessarily an episode, but at least a scene happened really fast, so it felt really oddly paced. But I thought it was a pretty solid episode for Megaforce. I like... just the fact that in this series, Gosei Ultimate is their base, which is kind of neat that their whole command center becomes a Megazord. Because in Gosager, they were just at the observatory, and Master Head was like, "Oh, here's a robot." That's what I remember from Gosager. Well, I mean, it was part of him, but I think it's just kind of neat. It gives a neat element.
A part of me is inside you, Brian.
Oh God.
Always
part of. Part of me
that is
inside
so disgusting.
Of you. You don't know that.
You don't know his life.
I don't know that it's disgusting.
That's right. You don't know my life.
Yes, I do. I live with you, you prick.
Well.
I agree that it was a good episode in terms of Megaforce. I guess in terms of, like, PR as a whole, it wasn't really that bad either. But, like, it was just, it's all... Megaforce is weird. Like, even when it's enjoyable, there's still so much wrong with it.
Like the choppy.
And, like, it's just, it's so, like, fast-paced because of the stupid condensing, and it just, it's aggravating.
Yeah, they so condensed it in order to try and fit a 50-episode show into 20 episodes.
But to be fair, Ghost Ager really only had 20 episodes of content.
That's true.
Ghost Ager, like, dicked around for a long time.
Look, those you're my Jews. They tried to make you put on your air conditioner to destroy the planet. Okay, that was a real threat. Evil.
Some evil shit.
But yeah, it's weird. I don't know.
I'm not back. Yes.
It was a thing, and it was aight.
Shukun Shinobi says it was aight. I viewed it with my eyeballs.
Wow.
I was gonna see how long the silence would go. Not very long.
So now it's time for Rainbow, Rainbow, Rainbow time.
Go, goat! Should I try something different? Damn it, just use calcium or whatever, that milk drink. I'm not playing Pokemon still. Drink. Totally. I'm a tall glass of milk.
I caught Evoltal and a Heal Ball.
Oh, cool.
That's beautiful.
I almost said before you hadn't yet, but you'll have caught it for a long time at the start of this.
Yes.
Timey. Okay, so speaking of Pokemon, there was an episode this week that actually had a Go-Goat in it.
This is true.
That was the most exciting thing about the episode.
And there was a Helioptile, and it was pretty adorable.
It was a pretty boring episode, but I admit I was kind of excited just to see them in the anime, just to see them, you know, move around in that environment. Like, the first 5 minutes were exciting, seeing them, and then they got to the plot about Tepig becoming a sumo wrestler and fighting Fat Bastard, and I just got bored. I just talked to this person that fishing's all about releasing. I'm sure it is, buddy. But yeah, the episode, like I said, it was
Goku with a Golurk.
Oh, was that his voice, or was that what he looked like?
Yeah, it was Sean Schimmel.
Okay, because I watched the first 5 minutes of it, and then I went to go pick up the game, and then I watched the recording later while playing Pokemon, so I really didn't watch it. But yeah, that was a thing. But I don't know if necessarily they planned it that way at all, but it was pretty neat that the episode that the Kalos Pokemon debut in the anime is the day that the game came out.
Yeah, that is pretty neat. I feel like that has to be planned. Like, it had to have been planned somehow. I don't know how, but...
Yeah, like, I don't know.
It's just too perfect.
It was pretty neat.
So this coming week, we get a preview of the X and Y anime.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to
that. Genesect movie, so watch that. We can talk about the movie, too.
Yeah, we'll have some better Pokemon discussion than just, it was terrible. And in conclusion, it was terrible.
In conclusion, shit sucked.
Sumo. I'm not sure how they're going to handle it, though, because we're getting the preview and we're still way behind. The whole international release screwed up the anime schedule.
Yeah.
Should be interesting. Anyway, on to better things. Turtles was back.
Yes, it was.
Did you not watch it, Brian?
I totally did.
Brian, stop lying.
Just to comment real quick on the opening sequence. Right when it's about to show the title card, where they're leaping from the buildings, if you notice in the background, Casey Jones just sort of steps out of the shadows really slowly. It's kind of neat.
I didn't notice that. Brian didn't notice it because he didn't watch
it. He's kind of hidden in the shadows, and then as they jump over, you just sort of see his mask peek out from the shadows.
I didn't catch that. I know they changed a couple things in the opening. I was specifically watching to see if they changed anything, and I know they added some people, but I didn't catch that. Anyway, It was a pretty cool episode. I really enjoyed it. I sound like Kevin just now. It was a good episode. I liked it. I love Turfleitel. That was just like the best thing ever. I want a figure of that.
Give it time. I'm sure they'll make one.
Yeah, that was really funny. And I think it's a really interesting start to this. There you go. You saw it. Or you could have read my hashtag. Hashtag unsure. I don't know. I almost said hashtag excitement, but then I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. I was really trying to remember this earlier. There was some... it's going to come out so stupid because I have no idea what I'm talking about, but it was like some sort of reoccurring bit in the base about Mikey being afraid of something. Some sort of villain, like cottage cheese or something.
Yeah, the cheese monster?
Yeah, maybe.
At the very beginning... And they kept telling him there was no cheese monster.
Yeah, and he kept mentioning it, and I thought that was really funny. But I think it was a really interesting setup for this season with all of that ooze going everywhere, just because we know we're going to be seeing a bunch of mutants, and I think that's going to be really fun.
Yeah.
And a way to do something different instead of going right back into, like, the main Krang, I almost said Kang, Krang plot line.
We get Squirtle next episode.
Yeah, because that's Squirtle. Damn it, Pokemon. I'm in the boat city! Boats. Oh, wait. I got a holo message. I got to try that moving around thing Aristotle talked about.
But I thought it was a pretty strong premiere. I didn't really have anything wrong with it. And it kept that same sort of charm that the original season had, so...
Yeah, so long ago.
So, a couple months ago. Not even.
Oh, I love when they're questioning Master Splinter about what a pet would eat, and he's like, why are you thinking of... Or he's like, what kind of pet? He's like, I don't know, maybe like a cat or something. And just the look of shock on Splinter's face. A cat? I don't know. It was just really funny to me.
I didn't even notice that. I mean, I remember the scene, but I didn't even... I'll rewatch it. Eris all sitting there noticing things all smart. I'm like, I like turtles. And the part where Mikey mentioned cheese. Remember that, guys?
But yeah, it was a pretty strong episode. A nice way to open up the season, especially kind of like we're already opening the season with a pretty major change. Like April, her dad is now mutated and she's pretty pissed at the turtles
a little bit.
Yeah, because he's turned into a balding bat. He's the opposite of Noibat.
Noibat is adorable. Kirby Bat is not adorable. I feel like there's something to talk about, and I just don't know what it is.
I don't know, but I was really happy to have it back.
This is that one segment where if Kevin was here, he'd kind of be...
Yeah, he'd be like, well, 1982, this character did something, and he was really important, and he had like 5 other relatives, and here are their names and marriage licenses. And he would know a bunch of stuff, and we would believe him.
Mikey tried to name him Wingnut, and that was an actual character before.
Oh, yeah, because he's like, Mikey, don't name April's dad, or don't give him a villain name.
Because Wingnut was that retarded bat guy.
I can't find the Pokemon Center in this boat town, Brian. Where is it?
You have to take the gondola or whatever.
Is that a type of cheese? Just kidding.
Oh my.
I was just thinking of Gouda because I was watching an episode of How I Met Your Mother yesterday. When am I not watching an episode of How I Met Your Mother, honestly? Speaking of How I Met Your Mother, Ben 10? Does that work at all?
Oh yeah. I actually forgot that Ben 10 was on last week, so I didn't see last week's.
Oh, it's fine. You didn't miss anything.
What was it about? I remembered the cold Gravitech thing.
Yeah, it was a stupid Secret Saturdays thing.
No, not last week's, this week's.
Oh, yeah, I actually really liked this week's episode. I thought it was kind of neat. I like seeing Rath's people and Ben's shock over the fact that Rath's been naked the whole time. I thought that was a nice little, like, inside joke about how all the aliens in Alien Force and Ultimate Alien were naked and, like the new designers came in and thought that was really awkward. So that was pretty funny, and it was just cool in general to see their race operate. And then that weird, like, it looked, the other race that was like their rival looked like a grown up version of the cotton candy Pokemon.
Like, well, if they were remember when he first got Wrath?
Yes.
That little baby alien that he had to protect?
Oh, yeah.
I'm fairly certain it was them.
Oh, I didn't even catch that, but... And it was still a unique episode, with that, and then just having those little ticks at the beginning. I thought at the very beginning that it was just going to be, like, an opening joke, where, like, there was going to be a whole other plot, and this alien invasion was going on Ben's arm, and he just squashed it. So when, like, they came back from the opening theme, I didn't expect it to, like, stay around and be a thing. But yeah, I thought it was pretty fun.
I like how there was just this big plot that the guy conceived with the, like, the little fleas just to ruin the entire meeting.
I like that they settled all their issues and then they were back at war because of their choice of burger toppings. I love Blue Kitchen Dreba, and they're arguing, and they're like, damn it, if we do this wrong, we have to call tech support. Damn it, we are tech support. Like, I just love the idea that their characters are, like, the smartest, or the dumbest smart people.
Pretty much. They're basically what you would get if you had, like, redneck geniuses.
Pretty much. But yeah, they're entertaining. I just think that's a really funny concept because of how smart Calvin
thought. They thought Rip died.
I'm like, oh, he's dead. It didn't work. Guys, I am down here. Can you hear this one? I don't know why. I'm just picturing Rook with Mr. S's voice now. Let's see. What else? Is there anything else on this weekend specifically? I feel like there was...
We haven't talked about Digimon in like 5 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Did everybody watch... well, last week's and then this week's?
I watched last week's.
I saw you're quiet back there. What did you say?
I said nope.
Oh, okay, sorry. I was really quiet. Well...
I didn't bother resetting the recording.
Yeah, I forgot to.
Well, it's not like you haven't seen it before.
At least I'm not concerned.
Yeah, because there's not really much to talk about. I'm trying to remember what last week's was. This week's was when they went to the ocean zone or whatever. Last week they got the forest zone. Oh, yeah, they met... Chris, not from HDU, and he was like, oh, I'm a dick and stuff. This is a thrilling discussion.
I'm a dick and stuff.
I was trying to think if there was any new voices that I wanted to talk about, but I can't really think of any. They did Shoutmon Cross 3 for the first time last week.
I and really like Darulumon's English voice.
Yeah, so do I. And they did the, I don't remember what they called it in Crosswords, but whatever Shaman Cross 2 with the shell on is, because they found Chibi Kamemon, which I think they called Chibi something else Mon. It's not that.
Chibi something else Mon.
It's like Toromon or something like that. Fuck, I should just look it up. I have a computer right here. I do this so frequently, just sitting here blanking on something, and I have a computer right here. Chibi Kamemon. Oops. Damn it! I accidentally typed Kong. TV Comic Con.
Chibi Comic Con.
Chibi Comic Con.
It's the little version of Comic Con.
Oh, Chibi Tortomon.
Tortomon?
Yeah. It seemed like, I mean, either way, it's a mouthful. But still. But yeah, there's not much else to talk about, really. Nothing much happened. Next week is the conclusion of the Ocean Zone arc.
Ocean Zone.
Discovery Zone. I don't think there's anything else on this weekend. I just got on Twitter and saw the thing about the Miltank physics. So a Damball next?
Well, Valkora.
Oh shit. I guess that wasn't the weekend.
You kept going on about the weekend and I'm like, Is he forgetting about Korra, or is he waiting, or what the hell is he doing?
I was forgetting about it.
Okay.
This week's Korra, I actually really liked it. It was kind of interesting to see an episode pretty much entirely without Korra. And,
yeah,
like I said, I enjoyed it. I I never like hated Mako or anything, or what's her name? Azula. That's not her name. Masia. I liked her so much that I can't remember her name. Masami. Wait, Asami. There we go. We got there. Anyway. But I liked them a lot better as a team and just in general in this episode than I did like in the first season. You know, like when they were in a couple and whatnot. Because it just seemed so forced in the first season. Like it was just there to be sort of an obstacle for him and Korra. But yeah, I really liked it. And then playing detective and whatnot. And the revelation about that guy being behind this. Beric. Yeah. Was I did not expect that at all.
Yeah.
Like, that was a great twist. And I love the moment when Mako figured it out, because it was like the audience figures it out at the same moment with the bombs from Set.
Yeah.
So that was really well done. And you look at the character totally differently after that, and then you see him, you know, when he went to visit him and he turned around and he's like, "Hello, Mako." Like, oh shit.
Yeah, definitely an interesting twist. I wasn't really expecting him to. I don't know if you'd say antagonist. But he is antagonistic now, definitely. But you wouldn't really expect it from him because he acts so goofy and
He has fun. Cool platypus suit, whatnot.
And he's such a fun character, and you know he seems like he's doing a lot of good. He's helping, girl. And he's helping Bolin, you know?
Yeah.
And then you get to that moment and you kind of realize that all of the stuff he's been doing is kind of in his own interest.
Yeah.
Like he's using Bolin to sort of work up the public interest to sway it against the North and everything. And then he's stealing from Asami to put her into this desperate situation where he can buy her out, and now he can sell all of her technology and or whatever. I mean, whatever he's going to do with it, but like he's war profiteering. That's basically what he's doing, and it's when you kind of find out, you know, that he's the one behind these explosions and everything. Like all the pieces kind of start falling into place, and it's actually not it's a lot smarter of a plan than you would expect from him.
Yeah.
Since he does act so stupid,
because he always comes across as this big goofy character, and meanwhile he's actually has this long thought out plan, and it's really just a complete dick move. But when you think about it, it just fits his character so well because he's all about money.
Yeah.
What about him and Julie's antics? Did that mean nothing?
It's even weirder for me because the actor that voices him is Fran Drescher's gay husband on Happily Divorced. And so I just see Beric as this big gay guy.
I've seen it. Really weird. Gay men can't be evil. That's just a fact. Chris knows that. Well, I know his voice, and I've seen him in a bunch of different stuff, and he always plays this sort of friendly, goofy guy. So I feel like him as an actor couldn't play a villain as a person, like in live action. But in this, it's actually done pretty well. You know, just the change in sort of demeanor, just ever so slightly at the very end. I remember at the very beginning of the season when Aerosol mentioned that he thought he might be related to Bolin. Not Bolin, Sokka, sorry. They're like the same. Both the goofy side character.
Bo Sokka.
My first girlfriend turned into the moon. That's rough, buddy. Oh, so many good moments. Hi, all. Zuko here. He rehearsed that for so long. Anyway, but, I don't think that's the case now, and if it is the case, that will be even more funny. Sokka's offspring being a villain.
I feel like it would have been brought up somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a last-minute reveal, like, you know who Amon is? Somebody you've never met before. But he's related to, what's his name? Tarlok, there we go. Remember when people thought he was Aang? That was stupid. Why would he be... Korra wouldn't be the Avatar. Get out. Just leave.
Was there a Tenzin subplot this episode, or was it just exclusively Mako and Bolin's movie antics?
Yeah, Tenzin wasn't there at all.
Okay.
Yeah. He was too busy catching Pokemon.
Yeah, he was given trainers the first Pokemon. He's the Pokemon professor of the... whatever the Air Temple region would be called. They just get a Sky Bison Pokemon, or a Lemur Pokemon, or a Pabu Pokemon. Pabu's fire type. I want a Pabu plush still. Why hasn't that happened? Somebody tell me.
Pabu.
Oh.
The other...
can't look that same.
The other reveal that came after the Varrock scene, which admittedly I didn't care as much about because, you know, the first twist was so massive that you move to Korra, who's washed up on the shore of the Fire Nation, and she's, I guess, amnesiac now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot.
Like,
stupid Korra, who cares about you?
Like, I wasn't expecting that she would be washed up.
washed up as bad.
Like, she was just sitting there with all the metal heroes and Ichigo. No, but, like, I thought that we would... because this episode is segueing into the first Avatar thing, I believe, still. But I thought she was going to somehow be transported to some sort of spirit world or trans state because she was swallowed. I didn't expect... what it like? She's like, oh, man, she tastes nasty, and just spit her out. And so she just floated onto the beach. But yeah, I wasn't expecting that. And it seemed so weird, given how we left last episode and then... you know, we pick up with her there knowing she's been eaten.
Yeah. I am curious if this will somehow tie into what we know about the season and how, like, the previous Avatars come into play somehow.
I'm sure it will, because I think this is the episode... I actually just set my reminder tomorrow for it, or tomorrow, for Friday, and, it shows it an hour. I don't know. I didn't hear about that, but I think it's going to be the episode with Steven Yeun in it as the first Avatar. Glenn was the first Avatar. Who knew? But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes. I'm going to check again right now and see if it says anything, because I actually didn't check the description to see what it says. Come on, time. Thursday. Oops, I went too far. Damn it. A failure.
Yeah.
Go back.
To the beginning. Okay, here we go. We're on track. It's all awkward because it's in that middle of the night time where it's like the schedule's half in the day, half in the night. Okay, Friday. Okay. A bold, rebellious teenage girl undergoes training to become a fully realized avatar. Animated, 60 minutes, FV, fantasy violence. Damn, doesn't tell me anything. The episode's called Beginning, so I'm thinking the SPD cast shows up. That's just me. I don't know. We'll have to see, though. But yeah, it was a good episode this week. I liked it.
All of the cops are still dickheads, though.
Oh, yeah. The stupid two detectives, one with the afro and the other one. Like... that situation, everyone's like, oh, I'm so mad at Korra, or I'm mad at Mako. I'm mad at them. Why is Chief Beifong treating Mako like such shit and, like, praising these two idiots that are just off to eat Avatar donuts? Do they have donuts in this world? That's what I want to know. That's what I want the comics to explore. Have donuts been invented? Is there dough bending? I don't know. But I don't know why I went off on that tangent. But, yeah, they're complete dickheads. Oh, and then there was, wasn't there, Two-Toed Larry or whatever his name was, and he got two extra toes.
Two-Toned Ping, I think. Something like that.
Not Larry. I don't think there was anything else to mention. Bolin got a hot tub. That was a thing. That's been Bolin's storyline this season. I like how whenever you see April, she still has mascara running and she looks a mess. I don't think she was in this episode, but I just thought that.
Yeah, she was.
Because I barely remember it. Because the last thing I really remember was her fighting Korra in the ocean. She's like, where's Andy? He's in London filming Guardians of the Galaxy. So funny because, like, she's one of those actors that everyone says like plays the same character, and even when she's on a cartoon, she's playing like the same character. Like, I could totally see that being April if she was in the Avatar world. Now I just want to see the Parks and Rec people in the Avatar world. Jerry would just be a failure. Good old Larry.
He'd be the cabbage guy.
I was watching a rerun yesterday, and it was when they were trying to make that catalog, and Jerry like messed up a picture because he took a picture of a pedophile in it, and he's like, I can Photoshop it out. And April goes, can you Photoshop your life to have better decisions, Jerry? Like, that's a really good comeback. And then Leslie's like, let's just move on. Everyone just pretend Jerry was never born. Poor Jerry. Anyway, that was a dash of Parks and Rec in the middle of Korra. Is Danball the only other thing? There's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but Kevin's not here, and I don't really care to talk about it that much. Kevin was here, but we could talk about Arrow. Damn it, Kevin. Although, to be fair, he wanted to record Monday.
He wasn't here.
Oh, well, that's probably because we didn't record.
I told him that Dawson wouldn't be here and that I hadn't heard from you because I hadn't at the time.
Oh.
And he said, okay. And then I heard from you and then I just never bothered to message him back.
God damn it, Brian. I messaged you right before I was going to go to bed. Like, the only reason I was up.
Just like he does every night. He says, sweet dreams, Brian. And then he goes to bed.
Well, no, I went to go to bed and my phone was lying there. So I didn't, I didn't see it when you actually texted me. So but I'm like, oh, well,
be my friend.
I guess I won't go to sleep and make time go faster so I can get Pokemon X sooner.
No, meanwhile, you just had to deal with me playing Pokemon.
Yeah.
So you just had to be tortured all night. Hey, listen to these Pokemon sounds.
You could have went to bed.
Did
I didn't know that.
He's like, here, listen to my Delphox.
A single tear rolls down Aerosol's face. That sounds cool. I'll be right back.
My bad. I didn't know.
So how about that damn ball?
There really wasn't much going on. To be fair, I was like, hurry up and be over so I can play Pokemon. That's pretty much me with any activity that's not Pokemon lately. But they did distribute their old LBXs.
Yeah.
Guy A and Guy B got them. I don't know their names. Like, I recognize them. I know who they are, but I don't know their names. Because I was looking away when he gave away Green Guy. Orvain. Did he get a repaint? Because it looked like Valsparos did.
They both did.
Okay, because I didn't. I just saw like the very end because I looked away and I saw him say, take good care of it or whatever.
He's got big twos painted on him now.
Oh, okay. Because isn't Valsparos like purple or something now? I don't know, it's kind of dark. But,
I thought it was blue, but.
This.
Blue. Sorry.
The episode, and I think this is largely due to the break it was on, sort of started with a bit of a recap. Like, the characters were just talking back and forth about stuff that happened.
Yeah.
So I'm like, is this a
clip show?
Because I'll just skip it if it is. And then, like, that only lasted about 5 minutes.
And now everyone's suspicious of Little Boy Blue. It's his name now. And his philosophy about hating Second World, and it's pretty obvious why he's banned it. He's like, it's the only realistic thing in this pathetic world. I'm like, oh, okay, you're a psycho. And the principal's like, why did we hire a 12-year-old psychopath?
Yeah, he's all suspicious of him, and then, like, why did you hire him? Why? Why is he here? Does he have a choice? Are they dictated by their countries or something like that?
Didn't he call? He called that guy that I'd never seen before, like the superintendent or the headmaster, the headmaster squared. He's like even higher above Crowler.
I think that was the prime minister.
Oh, okay.
The Japanese prime minister.
And, oh, because he called him, and he's like, why is he here? And he's like, stuff, things. And then he just hung up on him. That's what I remember. He's like, you have to keep him. And he's like, oh, okay. There wasn't any battles in this episode, was there? I mean, other than, like, the flashbacks.
Not really.
No, because they just started wartime at the very end.
There was a chunk of dialogue between Hojo's group about him getting a new...
Oh, yeah, I saw that. His new LVX. Yeah. And what else? Brian, did you not watch it?
What makes you think that?
Your silence. The silence will fall when the question is asked. Did you watch it? That's the question. But yeah, there wasn't anything special.
Yeah, it wasn't a very interesting episode.
It's kind of unfortunate after that break to come back.
I believe Bandit is now targeting Hojo's group. Because were talking about taking out that...
That poor kid
that really looks up to him.
They're like, look at this kid's smiling face. We're going to destroy this bitch. He's going to get banded the fuck out of him.
And then, like, right at the beginning of the episode, a group of kids from the Arabista country just walk up to Team One, and they're like, hey, you've never seen us before, but you're awesome. Bye. We just wanted to tell you that you guys rock.
We just wanted to let the audience know we exist. It's like that one foreign guy that just popped up. Can anybody tell me about this? I am foreign. I don't have the appropriate accent, but...
He is from Guatemala.
What do they sound like?
I don't know.
See, exactly.
Just make noise.
They speak in clicks. I'm sorry to any Guatemalan listeners we have out there. They're probably trying to understand why we don't talk in clicks. Damn it, Brian. I was trying to make my squeaky noise and you made me laugh with your coughing. I don't know why that's funny. Is that it?
I guess. Fucking Guatemalans.
I feel like we should have had more. It's weird.
Yeah.
Maybe I was just expecting longer discussion.
Yeah, we were just like, yeah, I'm not playing Pokemon. I actually stopped, and I still...
I barely played it, so...
I'm still playing.
I mean, I'm playing. I just didn't really get too far.
Like I said on Twitter, I've only put this thing down 2 times. Once was to sleep, and the other time was to go to the doctor's. Probably because I was playing too much Pokemon.
I got fucking lost. Sigma was like, meet me in this place. I'm like, okay, and I flew there. And I'm like, where the hell is it? And I realized I had the wrong fucking town.
Damn it, Sycamore, you suck at giving.
Well, everything's so French, I don't understand it.
They just start speaking French. They go, A-roo-roo-roo, and Brian's like, what? I only speak in clicks. Oh, God. Kevin's alive. He just uploaded a review.
I just got the good rod. This is like the lamest thing I could cheer about. But it means I get a clutch.
No one could figure that out yet.
No one should figure it out yet. Brian's still... Shit. That tickled. This is a lovely podcast.
Rain or shine. Because now it's time for the tweet-er questions of the week.
Yeah.
Go, go.
I'm going goat.
All right, so first question is from Kevin Phantom Thong. What?
You said Kevin Phantom Thong?
I heard a little. Never mind. Anyway, he says, hey guys, I'm starting to run out of interesting questions,
So this week's question is, what was the most scariest... Is that English, right? I don't know. The most scariest moment you've ever experienced. A moment where you felt that you were fucked. Or when you knew that you weren't going to get out alive. Evidently,
well,
you did.
I obviously.
I have no idea. I am a very safe person. I really haven't been in too many major car accidents, so I can't really say that.
But Aaron's always got a couple stories.
You put me on the spot.
Sorry.
I've never really been anywhere that was like under attack by anything. I actually, the most threatening place is like my dreams. Because I get attacked a lot in my dreams. Just saying, but... No, I, like... For real, like, I can't think of anything. Like, all the times I flew, there hasn't been any issue whatsoever. Yeah, all the natural disasters that occur at places I visited are all after I left.
That sounds suspicious.
It really is, like... We went down to Louisiana. This was before I knew Kevin, so... and then, when we came back, like, a year later, Katrina hit. We just went to New Jersey.
Confirmed,
and
Brian,
like,
caused Katrina.
Like, a month and a half after we came home from New Jersey, bam, there goes the fucking boardwalk.
Oh, man.
We just wreck shit everywhere. But yeah, I honestly can't think of anything.
I do have one. When I was younger, I can't swim. I don't know if I said that before, but I can't swim. And my friend and I, we were up at a lake in the mountains, Lake Dillon, and we were just playing tag or whatever. And he was chasing me, and we were on the dock of this lake. And I thought, oh, I can get away by jumping in, not thinking about the fact that I can't fucking swim. And I was in there, and I thought for sure I was gonna die. Because I can't swim, obviously, but he pulled me out of there, and I lived, obviously, unless I've been a ghost this whole time. But yeah, that was the closest near-death experience I've had. Can't really think of anything else that scary, other than that time Brian almost punched that lady out of the airport. But that was more her near-death experience than anything else. I think there's all a story of stabbing.
No, well, I did.
One time I got in a street fight with like 12 people.
But that's not the story. I don't know. I have a couple, I guess. When I broke my right leg, that was kind of a hectic accident. I was on a four-wheeler, and I sort of took a turn too sharp, and it flipped over on top of me. So that wasn't fun. I don't know if that's necessarily life or death. So much as it is, oh god, am I going to lose my leg? kind of thing.
Was your leg life and death?
Yeah. But for whatever reason, the only thing that comes to mind is in high school, I was in my church's youth group. And our youth minister was crazy, like the kind of guy who would take us out after, you know, after Sunday class to his ranch so we can have target practice with shotguns and AK-47s. That kind of crazy.
Oh god.
So we were having a bonfire once, and you know, he gives this like permission slip thing so we can have it signed. And on it lists like a bunch of activities, one of which is a hayrack ride. And I don't know if anybody's ever been on a hayrack ride. Usually they're really boring. it's just a tractor pulling a hayrack and you sit on it. His version of a hayrack ride was his pickup truck pulling a hayrack with a bunch of kids on it at 70 miles an hour. it's hard to stay on the A-Rack at 70 miles an hour. So, yeah, just during that whole moment, because it felt like it just wouldn't end. Because I'm holding on to whatever I can for dear life. None of the hay bales are working because they're flying off the truck. So I'm just like gripping the boards to this hay rack, just desperately like wishing it would end soon. It doesn't help that I'm also allergic to hay, and there was a lot of it, and my face was slowly swelling up. So yeah, that was not fun.
Just getting this mental picture of Aerosol, like, face flapping in the wind, all red and swollen. Are we going to stop? Oh, man. Wonder if Kevin had any. Oh, well, I guess the world may never know. Hello? Hello?
What?
That's not a customary response, so it says hello.
Okay.
Says hello to Brian.
What?
What did you say to me? How dare you? So anyway, Chenix S. Yep. At this point in the future, we are all probably playing Pokemon. You got it. So time for a Pokemon-related question. Would you like to see a Generation Zero type of game? Like back in the olden days of Pokemon? It'd be interesting.
Yeah, like, I only showed that one picture. It looks like it had the birds as starters, which I don't really think would happen. But yeah, it would be interesting to see.
Not as a main game.
Yeah, definitely not as a main game, but...
As a spin-off to sort of tell a little bit of backstory about... I saw the picture. It was, I'm guessing, Kanto. Like, that could be interesting to sort of, hey, here's this region 50 or so years beforehand. But as a main game, I don't think it could ever work, because you can't introduce new Pokemon. But as, like, a spin-off thing, it could be interesting.
Because, like, I kind of like the idea behind Conquest. Sans the fact that Conquest, like, is so non-canon, it's not even funny. But
don't even joke about it, guys.
I know, it's like, God, it's a serious matter. But I think something like that, not a little bit different of a style, because, like, obviously instead of, like, the whole capture the Pokemon, throw the Pokemon out, battle with it, kind of have, like, a different type of RPG for it would be kind of interesting. Maybe.
He did show those. We could be using, like, it would be the same game with those ancient Pokeballs that Professor Oak used when he was a lad. It was just like a silver ball with a knob on the top.
You have to, like, turn the dial. It's a bad day.
When you have to turn a dial, it's just a bad day.
It is. Alright, so Super Power Geek asks, if you're going to live in Japan for 2 years and only had 2 months to prepare, what would you do? Prepare.
I'm not sure what question that is. Like, what would I do, like, for the all but one day, just run around screaming in circles, and then on that last day, just prepare? Yeah, I guess just prepare.
It'd be very similar to how I am preparing to move out right now by playing Pokemon and not doing anything.
And, like, looking for stuff to sell randomly. Damn, I'm out of figure out what else should I sell. Anybody interested in some pants? I got this button here.
I got a pair of gently used pants.
Gently used.
Brian only uses his pants gently.
I'd probably do a lot of freaking out, because being in Japan for 2 years is kind of horrifying. Like, it'd be cool when you're there, but, like, the thought process that goes into the fact that you're fucking going to Japan for 2 years.
They don't speak English over there. Did you know that?
Most of them do, but...
You don't speak English.
It's not perfect English, but... It's English enough.
Then I feel like I would laugh whenever they said something.
I would.
But you're always laughing, so it wouldn't be suspicious.
That's true. They wouldn't know what's going on. Oh, look at Fat Kid. He laugh.
It was a brilliant impersonation of a Japanese person.
It was. It's the greatest. So Eagleardo asks, are you picky when it comes to having a specific gender for certain Pokemon?
Yes.
We were talking about this yesterday.
Yesterday.
Normally I'm not, but for very specific Pokemon, I am. It took me a really long time to find a male Litleo. I don't know. Like, I looked on Cerebi and they have the ratio as 50-50. I really doubt it's 50-50. Because I would not have run into that many females without running into any males if it was 50-50.
Aerosol did the math.
I think... I don't know, maybe a couple. The only other one I can really think of is how much time I spent trying to get a female Badoo in whatever game it was. It was
Diamond and Pearl, Gen 4.
Well, no, I yeah, it would have been Gen 4, wouldn't it? Yeah. But yeah. Normally I'm not, though. Usually it's just like, whatever I get, I get. But when it came to Litleo, I just really wanted the main.
Yeah, I'm more picky about it. I think Kevin and I are the same, where we usually try to get males. But there are cases where, kind of like we were just saying with Badoo, even though I actually raised a female one, or a male one in my playthrough, but where I'll want it to be female. Like, actually, just a couple days ago, when I was trying to catch an Eevee, I'm not going to use one, but when I evolved into the fairy type, I wanted a female for that, so I was looking for a female Eevee. And I restarted my Black 2 several times to get a female Snivy, because they're more badass, because they're, like, Ash's badass Snivy instead of Trip's Snivy! and I'm sure whenever I do a playthrough of XY with Fennekin, I'll probably try to restart it to get a female.
Yeah,
Mr. Mimes.
Don't be me, I forgot.
Yeah, Brian was just so excited. And then he ran into Pavilion and they ran off together and got married and it just invaded everyone's Pokemon on me accounts. And Mr. Mime, I haven't used one ever, but it has to be male. I'm probably going to use one at some point. But even just catching it, it just seems awkward to not.
It's solely the name, too.
Yeah, it just... Because it's like Barrier Japan, but still. But yeah, I'm pretty specific about it.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, we're still doing the podcast.
I'm kind of like Aerosol. There's certain Pokemon that I absolutely need certain genders for. Tyrant, I really wanted a male. Got stuck with a female. Didn't notice it. Fennekin really
Boxed
wanted
it.
A female. Got a male. Didn't notice it. It's a trend in this game. I just get so excited that I forgot to check his gender until after I've saved. So that's a little bit disappointing, but like certain ones, like you mentioned Sylveon. If I ever had a Sylveon and wanted to be female, I kind of like make up the Pokemon's gender in my mind beforehand. Like, I look at it and go, you look like a female, so I try to make sure that it's a female. But, it was just catching random things to fill out the Pokedex, or just kind of like my first playthrough. I don't particularly care all too much. Certain Pokemon, like my Vivillon? That's a new pronunciation for it. Vivillon, I would probably have just didn't care either way. Mine was female, and I'm, like, happy about that.
I would probably just have didn't care.
I was really hoping no one would notice.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
But, like, in that regard, I wouldn't really care. But, yeah, certain ones,
Like, especially with things like Litleo, because they're different. And, Meowstic and stuff, since they're different depending on their gender. It's kind of important when you get to that regard.
Today on RR, we discuss Pokemon gender politics and equality.
Good times. So the Pokemon questions keep rolling in. Kiefer asks, with the whole new generation of Pokemon finally here, it's anime speculation time. What new Pokemon evolutions or mega evolutions would you want or are expecting Ash to get this time around?
You know, I was thinking about this a couple weeks ago, and I think that they shouldn't have brought Charizard back for the last leg of Unova, and they should have brought him back like a quarter or midway through his Kalos journey and just had that be his fire type so it could get Mega Charizard. Because it would make sense.
Yeah, it would. I'm still expecting to see it.
Yeah. But it just would have kind of been something different, especially since they actually brought him back on his main team and it wasn't just like a, hey, I'm bringing you back for this battle or whatever. And he really didn't do anything. He just kind of hung around for their whole journey. He really didn't. I think the most he did was during the N arc. So I thought it would have been better to bring him back when he could actually be a member of the team. Well, we know from the opening that they're kicking it Hoenn style, and each one of them is getting a starter,
which I actually really like. Not that I'm against the whole having all three starters, but it just gives Ash more variety of Pokemon to get.
Yeah.
When he only has one of the starters.
If he doesn't get bring back Charizard as a member of his team, I could see Ash getting a Litleo. Although he does have the fucking Firebird. But he did type overlap in the last gen.
That's true.
I want to see somebody get... Wait, what's his name? I forget his name. It's like Clementine or something. Yeah. He's got the Bunnelby, so maybe we'll get to see Diggersby in the anime. That would be spectacular.
I forgot the openings out.
Any other speculation, or are you just going to have silence?
I was watching the opening.
Oh, okay. They just mainly showed the starters. I was just assuming he has the bird from the trailers, because it shows him fighting the gym leader, the first gym leader, and the other Pokemon's a pavilion, so I was like, that's not Ash's, because she has one. And she's bug type.
Oh my God, Anakin's so adorable. Yes. Anyway, sorry. It's really hard to say. I'm not really too huge on the whole speculatory thing, so
I don't really. Ash is just gonna have trouble running into a bunch of Pokemon from the regions he's already been to. I wonder what, like, everyone's thing is gonna be. Like, this year it was Silas, or not Silas, Silen was a connoisseur douchebag. And Iris was going to be a Dragon Master. I wonder what these guys' thing is going to be. I mean, obviously, Clement is a gym leader, but I wonder what his thing is. He's just obsessed with making shit. I don't think she's going to be a coordinator unless they bring that back specifically for the anime, which I would not be opposed to. I could see her getting one of the fairy Pokemon, like the Cotton Candy or the Flamingo. We already got Dedenne and Bunnelby on board, so I'm happy.
Clement's got a pretty interesting lineup, actually. Because he's got Chespin, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's got Chespin, Bunnelby, and Dedenne. So that's pretty fun.
Three winners right there. That's probably all he's going to have. Side characters only allowed to have three Pokemon each, apparently. Same thing with Team Rocket. They could just have a full roster by now. Oh, got two Pokemon. Time to drop them off at the lab. Okay, not lab. Headquarters. There we go. I bet they have a lab at the headquarters.
You just told me that my battery was low. How thoughtful of it. Right, guys? Right. Thank you.
I wasn't listening.
What?
No one ever does.
I heard battery.
Shit, and you know it.
DKDT Gray asks, since I have some places that I can look/buy/play, With Toku Toys, where I live, Image Anime, and Mitsuo Marketplace, I can judge if I want the figure, belt, morpher, whatever, or prove it's not worth my money. So my question is, would it assist your buying habits if you could physically play or inspect a Toku item before you buy it? Would you want a local store near you that sells Toku items? That would be awesome and awful at the same time.
Because they're so overpriced.
Well, what? Well,
but not, you get to see them.
Not even taking the price into account, but the fact that there's easily things that I would skip, like the Dadaimaru for Gaim, for instance, that I'm perfectly comfortable skipping, having not actually seen it at all. But if I actually, like, saw it, picked it up, played with it, and, like, attached it to the Musou Saber or something, I might actually really want it. So that'd be really bad. That'd be a really bad idea. Like, I remember when we were at fucking Morphicon, and Mr. S had all those toys on the table, and I was sitting here playing with, like, the Forze Driver and those buddy rides that talk.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want the buddy rides at all until I picked them up and started pressing Cheating Nick's cross and having them talk. I really wanted it. So, it's kind of a give or take, but the price is a definite.
Yeah, because they're pretty overpriced over there. What was Anime Jungle? That's where we went to. But yeah, I mean, it would be nice to have a place that sold some more stuff here. Like, there used to be this anime store that was pretty decent that had a lot of. It wasn't like belts or figures or anything like that, but they had a lot of like side stuff. Like, I got that Super Sentai History book for like $15, and they had like some random, like, small vinyl figure random packs, and it was just kind of neat stuff like that was super cheap that I would just go in there to browse, and I would buy like a $1 little figure and get a random rider or Sentai and get a book, and it was just kind of neat stuff like that I'd rather have. I'd love for them to have a store where they would have the figure arts and it doesn't matter the price, but like open one so you could play with it, so I could know if this is shitty, I don't want to buy it.
Oh my god, it's a Torkoal. Yes.
Yeah, this is a Torkoal. I'm buying this figure art.
I'd buy a D-Arts Torkoal. Are you kidding me?
But yeah. Pokemon.
I know you're not a big toy guy, but do you have any opinion on this?
I think... I do agree a lot with what Brian said about how it would be more tempting if they were right in front of you. Because I do get tempted to buy these things. They're fun, but the reason I don't is because they're so far away. So I have less temptation because I'm not going into a store like Walmart or Target and just kind of seeing them there. So, yeah.
Why the fuck can't Torkoal Mega Evolve? Shit in an instant.
It would just be a Torkoal with two heads.
Be awesome, and you know it. And then lastly, Jeff asks, who's your favorite Skylander from each series?
Gilgrunt.
Gilgrunt for all of them.
Well, I've only played the first game.
And Gilgrunt's been like a main figure in every game, so you could actually legit say that.
Mine is, specifically from the first series, is Prison Break, because I love his design. I like that his powers are like Diamond Head, and I like that his name sounds like Prison Break. So it's like all these things I like at once. So he's a favorite. Trying to think from the last batch. Like a specific giant that I liked or something. I like, out of the new ones, I don't know all their names yet, but I like Magna Charge, and I like the ice skating raccoon thingy. It's like Freezer Coon. That is not right, but I saw his like design and I think it looks cool.
Freezer Coon?
I don't know, he's like a ice skating Pokemon. Damn it. But he looks cool. But I don't know too many of their names yet. I'm trying to think of some Giants ones. I'm trying to think of the Giants themselves.
Okay, well, while you do that, I'll go.
Well,
what?
I don't know.
Go ahead. From the first game, I always kind of liked Stealth Elf because she was really quick, and so I just kind of zoomed through the levels. Gogrun is pretty cool. Not gonna lie, there. It's been so long since the first game. I'm trying to remember.
It was so simple then, Brian, when they only had one class of figure. Now there's like four fucking tiers. It's really annoying.
Looking up like character lists. Bam, there we go. Wrecking Ball is fucking adorable as sin.
Oh yeah.
I just escaped from a battle. I don't know how that happened. I wasn't even looking. Always have a huge bias towards Flameslinger because both.
Well, don't tell that to Kevin's daughter. She'll get scared. She's scared of archers under her bed.
Okay. So I'd probably pick Flameslinger for...
Gen 1 Skylanders.
One. Whirlwind was also really cool. But Sonic Boom was the first one that I level 10'd. And I liked the fact that it barfed babies. So... Serious one, I'm probably going to go with Sonic Boom. Giants. My favorite giant itself is Hothead because he can turn into a motorcycle. And I think that's really bitching cool. Again, looking at a character list. Because I am awful and can't think for myself. Jetvac. It's hard to not like Jetvac.
Jetvac was pretty awesome.
God, this is going to make me pretty much like be an air person. But Jetvac's my favorite new character for Giants. And I can't really speak too much for Swap Force because I haven't played the game. And I only own the exclusives that are out. So I can't really say too much for Swap Force. But I see no little character pictures anywhere. I really like the Rattlesnake guy. He's pretty cool.
Rattlesnake?
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Rattleshake.
There we go. It was some sort of pun.
But he's pretty neat. Zulu is one that is just a normal new character that caught my eye just because he's really cool looking. So it's probably going to end up being him, but it depends on how he plays. Because a lot of the times, like, I don't even really think about the characters until I start using them. And they have, like, attacks that I really like to use. Then I end up just sticking with that character. So we'll see for Swap Force, but preliminary, just looking, probably Zulu. Which is, like, a Star Trek character or something.
Stupid Star Trek, and they're not being Star Wars.
And George Takei. Close enough. Alright, that is it. So, keep sending in the questions. In such lack.
Thank you, Brian.
So that like started French, and then I think it ended Cajun.
Cajun.
You ended Cajun.
No.
No. I never end Cajun, Brian. Wait. The guy's name is Freezeblade. That was Ice Coon, or whatever I called him. I really dig his design.
Got it.
Now it's time for
Final Phase.
MP3.
Final Phase!
This is the part where we have nothing to say because we've already said all the final thingies before, and we don't even have someone here to say ew.
Ew.
That just wasn't very funny, Brian. No.
I'm sorry. Look, I tried.
We'll do better next time.
You do better next time.